what's best, my Lord? Oh, I want what you want for me. Oh, I want what you want for me. Let's stand this morning and make it personal. I told Brother Nathan last night I wanted to sing that chorus and come up here this morning, and Brother Josh was playing it, so amen. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord.
Sing on. Sing it again. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. Is that your desire this morning? Amen. Good to be in church again together. And have several prayer requests that we're going to bring before the Lord, but I want to make a couple of announcements. Lord willing, we'll be having our prayer meeting and communion service this evening at 6:30. So remember that this evening. And then for Christmas, we will be having a Sunday morning service on Christmas Day, but we will not be having an evening service that day. So remember that, if you will. No evening service on Christmas Day, but we'll be having Sunday morning service. And then, Lord willing, we'll be just having our regular services the following Sunday on New Year's. We got several prayer requests we want to lift before the Lord. Sister Stephanie Duvall and Nathaniel, they're traveling home today. We want to remember them in prayer. And Brother Yarborough requests continued prayer for his sister, but she is doing much better, so praise the Lord for that. And I believe Sister Estera is in quite a bit of pain this morning. We want to remember her in prayer. Good to have Brother Joshua back with us. He was working quite a bit, and then they were on vacation. We missed seeing him and hearing him, and good to see him back this morning. And Sister Stephanie Nicholson, her grandpa is got a bacterial infection. We want to remember him in prayer this morning. And Brother Ivan Milby, that we've been praying for, they turned him over to hospice yesterday. So we want to remember him in prayer during this time. He's just got a lot of injuries from his fall, and he's unable to swallow, and they're unable to get a feeding tube because he's so weak, so he's just not doing very well. But we know the Lord's still able. But Brother Ram said the enemy can't take you until the Lord's done with you. But if it's his time, then we just pray that, you know, that he would pass in peace without pain and suffering. But we know the Lord's still able to restore him and bring him back. So we want to definitely remember him in prayer during this time. How many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Our Lord sees each one. Brother Hoover, why don't you just come up here and lead us in a word of prayer? He's not late. He taught Sunday school this morning for the older children. So, amen.
Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful, Lord, to be able to come in, have a place, Lord, that you have provided for us, Lord, that's been dedicated, set aside, Lord, for the purpose of meeting you. That's our purpose in coming this morning, Lord. We wanted to have a meeting with you. Lord, we've been out Laodicea amongst the world, Lord, and we realize that we're not as much like you as we want to be. And the only way to become more like you is to draw closer to you and have you fill us, Lord, again, refill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, and that our flesh and our ideas would die out and yours would become preeminent, Lord. And that's what we came for this morning, Lord, was to meet with you and be changed, Lord, from the inside out. Now we have these requests, Lord, that are laying before us. Lord, someone's mom, someone's dad, someone's child, Lord, or Jesus that stands in the need of prayer. Lord, we just take it upon our heart, Lord, that if it was our family, Lord, we would seek your face. And Lord, that's what we're asking for. We're asking for you to come on the scene and perform miracles, Lord, your Jesus. Bring healing, Lord, your God, not just to bodies, but bring healing, Lord, to souls and hearts, Lord, your Jesus. Heavenly Father, when we walk from this place, we want to be able to say that we have been with you and that we're more like you than we were when we came in. That's our desire. Just walk up and down this aisle, Lord, in the form of your word. Take your minister this morning, Lord, and make him a flame of fire in this pulpit. Lord, that you would come on the scene and you would be made real, Lord, in every life, from the youngest, Lord, to the oldest. And we'll give you glory and praise and honor and thanksgiving. We just invite your presence now for the remainder of this service. Ask that you would take complete control of every person, every spirit that's in this place, and that you would have the preeminence and you would receive glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning once again, church. This morning, 38th Psalms. That's 3, 8. We'll read from 1 to 11, and Lord willing, we'll finish it up next week. It said, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, and neither is there any rest in my bones because of my skin. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. God bless you. Please be seated.
I believe we got a special this time from Sister Leah Leek and Sister Anna Pierce, if they come.
Thank you.
think Brother Joe and Sister Becky have a special for us as well this morning if they come at this time.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Everybody happy this morning?
Amen.
You know, I saw a little sign that said that it's not so much happy people that are thankful, but it's thankful people that are happy. Is that right?
Amen.
We went down to Georgia for the Thanksgiving, and I got an old wore out backslidden Chevrolet Suburban, and it was really backslidden, all right. And we got back up to Virginia and started having a lot of trouble. I just want to give a quick testimony, if that's okay. Thank you. I remembered Brother Cleveland. Anybody know the testimony of Brother Gerald Cleveland? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Well, years ago, back when Brother Branham was having meetings, he came all the way from South Carolina and got up here, and it was on the weekend, and he had a busted wheel cylinder. His cylinder on his brake had completely went out. He had no brakes. He had to keep putting brake fluid in there, and they had to go all the way back across the mountains, down through Kentucky into South Carolina, and he was like, he had a real sick sister with him, too, and they went to Brother Branham. They happened to be eating at the place, and he said, Brother, I just don't know if I'm going to make it back or not. And he said, Brother Branham just laid his hand on him, never even said a word, and he said, Brother, it'll be all right. He said they started down the mountain and had full brakes all the way home. He stopped and bought all kind of brake fluid just to keep putting in there. And when he got back, he never had to put another drop of brake fluid in that car as long as he had it. And he still had those bottles of brake fluid for years. And on the way home, that sister who had been real sick, she was setting up. She was able to eat, and the Lord had touched her too. Well, I said, we just got down and prayed because my oil pressure on my truck had went like down to like 20, supposed to be around 40. And so I was really nervous, had a lot of noise coming from the engine, and I knew what was going to happen. So I was like, I was pulling a trailer, had a long way to go. And I just got down. We said, Lord, what you did for Brother Cleveland, you can certainly do for us. And we put the oil in it. And let me tell you, the Lord is my witness that we had 40 PSI coming all the way across those mountains until all I prayed for, Lord, let us get home. All right. 40 PSI all the way across the mountains until we got in the driveway. I got up the next morning. I said, well, man, this thing's going to do great. A mile down the road, it went to zero. And it was God said, well, I did just pray to get home. So, but I just thank the Lord for what he does. Amen. For us. He really helped us out. But sometimes we go through trials and we don't know why we're going through it. And I don't have the words to this song. We had it. But y'all mind if we practice? Sincere. There are times in this life when fear is so heavy and burdens weigh on your mind. You are weak in the knee, and no strength can you find. Just hold on, help's right on. My Jesus is always on time. Though you may see a valley, he sees the mountain you'll be standing on. When all you can see are the tears falling down, I'm so glad he sees what we don't. I've seen his children fall through.
I've witnessed faith put to the test. I have watched as the storms blew in with the thunder, but in each trial, He knows what's best. I am so glad He knows what's best. And though you may see a valley, He sees the mountain you'll be standing on. When all you can see are the tears falling down, I'm so glad He sees what we don't. He knows the end from the beginning. He looks ahead past the hurt and the pain to a place where the peace passes all understanding. He sees the sun through the rain, and though you may see your valley, He sees the mountain you'll be standing on. When all you can see are the tears falling down, I'm so glad He sees what we don't. I am so glad He sees what we don't.
Amen. You appreciate that this morning? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Brother Joshua was playing this a few minutes ago, and it wasn't on the list for this morning, but just felt to sing it. I don't even know if I remember all the words, but you helped me this morning. Oh, life is a few days trouble. Wise man once said, oh, but I'll not complain, 'cause I'm sheltered, I'm clothed, and I'm fed. Is that how you feel this morning? Many's the trial, my heart, my dreams put me through, but then I'm reminded of the sweet peace I have, Lord, yes, in You. Oh, let's stand and sing it this morning. The only real peace I have, dear Lord, it's in You. Yes, Father, the only real peace I have, dear Lord, it's in You. Through all life's frustrations, I need You. Lord, I know I do. And the only dear Lord is in you. Help me sing it this morning. Oh, the only real peace I have, dear Lord, it's in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, it's in you. Through all life's frustrations, oh, I need you, Lord, I know I do. For the only real peace I have, dear Lord, is in you. Oh, the higher I soar in my dreams, the harder I fall. Lord, and sometimes I've wondered if my dreams are worth dreaming at all. Oh, but my disappointments, they can't keep me blinded or blind. Oh, not when I'm reminded of that sweet peace I have, Lord, in you. Oh, let's just worship Him this morning. Oh, the only real peace I have, dear Lord, it's in you. The only that I have, dear Lord, it's in you. Through all life's frustrations, oh, I need you, Lord, I know I do. For the only real peace that I have, oh, He's the only one that can bring the real kind of peace when it seems like there can be none found. Oh, the only real peace I have, dear Lord, it's in you. Oh, the only real peace I have, in you. Through all life's frustration, I need you, Lord, I know I do. And the only real peace I have, dear Lord, just sing it to Him again this morning. Oh, the only I believe we could say, like David of old, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, this morning to St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. I'd just like to say I appreciate all the work that's been done here recently at the church. Brother Jimmy and Brother Stephen have been doing a wonderful job coordinating a lot of the things. My dad's been doing a lot of work to the all the different plumbing. We had a big water leak out here in front and all kinds of different problems, but he's been doing a wonderful job at that. And Brother Jimmy and Brother Stephen have been doing a lot of work around, and I know we tease about Sister Layton, but it was actually Brother Daniel and Brother Jeremy that climbed up there and painted the steeple. And I wouldn't want to climb up there, so I appreciate them doing it. And Brother Doug Bruce, he did a lot of exterior painting over this last week, and we appreciate that. And they've been getting some of the rooms painted downstairs and different things, and just making it nice for us. I appreciate all the work and all the time and all the people that volunteered and helped. And Brother Joel and Sister Christy, they do such a good job picking up your candy wrappers and sweeping up your fingernail clippings and all the kinds of things they go through. So somebody's got to do it, I guess, but amen. It's, and all the deacons, the trustees, the musicians, the Sunday school teachers, we're blessed. Amen. We're blessed. I remember, Brother Joe, when it was me and the guitar, and that's all it was. And we still had some good services, but there's something about it when everybody puts their shoulder to the wheel. It's a lot better, all those looks of fire. Amen. Certainly appreciated the specials this morning. Appreciate each of you that's here this morning, those that wanted to be and couldn't make it. And let's just start at the 18th verse this morning, St. Matthew chapter 4. I know when you go to mention things like that, you forget somebody. So if I've forgotten, you've been helping out around the church, I apologize. I didn't do it intentional. It's just my human brain sometimes forgets all the ins and outs and things. But and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. I want to speak this morning with the help of the Lord on from disciple to denial. And let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin to look into your word, and Lord, feeling your presence here this morning, Lord, and just, Lord, feeling your Holy Spirit just ministering to us through the songs, and Lord, just how you've coordinated the service thus far, and just believing, Lord, that your hand is in it, and Lord, knowing that there are many that, Lord, we need encouragement. There, each and every one of us, Lord, facing some type of a trial, some type of a battle. Some may be very different than others. Some may be more severe, more urgent than others. But we're all going through something. We're all facing something, some type of a battle or a physical need or temptation, whatever it would be that people are up against, that they're struggling, Lord. And amen, we need encouragement from your throne again this morning. I just ask that you move me out of the way, Lord. You know all about it, Lord. And Lord, just ask you to be in this service, Father. Lord, just move on the scene in a way that only you can. May you have complete preeminence, we pray, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. If I'm a little slower and more nasally this morning than normal, I would just like to add this disclaimer to this sermon. If this was a regular job, I would have probably called in this morning. So I just got all this sinus stuff going on and didn't sleep very good last night, couldn't breathe half the night. But I know a lot of times when it's like that, it's easier for me to get myself out of the way because there's not a whole lot of me left to move out of the way. So we find that Peter, being a disciple of Jesus, quickly he leaves everything behind. He leaves his job, leaves his boat, leaves everything that he had going for him, and he begins to follow Jesus. And as we see Peter here, his life is really extraordinary. Him, Peter, James, and John, Brother Branham typed them to faith, hope, and love, and how that they always went together, and they got to see some things that the rest of the disciples didn't get to see. Jesus would take them along sometimes when he was going about to do things that he didn't take the rest of the disciples. Maybe there was a little bit of jealousy there because of that. I don't know. Maybe being walking with Jesus, maybe he was able to temper a little bit of that. But I know one day they begin to look around and say, who's the greatest and who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And if we're not careful, we begin to get that sort of attitude. But these men weren't, you have to remember, these men weren't converted yet. They had become disciples. They were following Jesus. And they had turned away from some of the things they were doing before, but they hadn't been baptized with the Holy Ghost yet. And so these men who were unconverted, they begin to walk with Jesus. And no doubt there was probably some jealousy and things when he'd call and say, "Hey, Peter, James, and John, I want you to go with me to another sick call." And maybe Thomas and Matthew and Philip and Nathaniel could say, what's the deal? Why is he always taking these three with him?" But he had a reason in doing it. He had a reason. He had a purpose. And Jairus, as he goes along there, his daughter has died. And he runs to meet Jesus. And Jesus brings Peter, James, and John with him. And he sends everybody else out of the house except Jairus and his wife and Peter, James, and John. They got to see something that hardly anybody else got to see. And when he goes up on Mount Transfiguration, and he goes and he sees, they see Elijah and they see Moses in their theophany bodies up here on Mount Transfiguration. None of the other disciples got to experience that. Matthew and Mark and Luke wrote about it, but John was the only one that was writing about it that was actually an eyewitness. The others weren't there. Now they go and Jesus, as he begins to realize that he's turning towards Calvary, and he comes through Jericho and he goes up to Jerusalem, and they welcome him and they lay out their coats and they're singing Hosanna. But he knows that these cries of Hosanna are getting ready to turn to crucify him. And this anointing that they're welcoming him as a victorious king, they're getting ready to take him and crucify him. And as he goes and he prays in Gethsemane, he goes a little bit further with Peter, James, and John than he does the rest of them. And he leaves the rest of them back here. And then he goes on just a little bit further. And they see him, all the trembling and the weeping and the turmoil that he's in. Peter got to see that. None of the rest of the disciples did. And then he slept through half of it because he was tired. He'd been up all night. And Jesus said, "Couldn't you pray with me 1 hour?" And we want to criticize them. But why don't you get down about 4 a.m. and see if you can pray an hour with Jesus. And so Peter, he had seen a lot of things that many of the other disciples had never experienced. He was an eyewitness to many great miracles, many great things that would just astound us. But if we go a little bit further into St. Matthew's gospel, St. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69, it begins to talk about as they take Jesus up to the high priest's house, and most of the disciples had forsook him, but Peter and John, they begin to kind of follow along behind, and John knows somebody there at the door of the high priest's house, and they go and let him and Peter in. And it says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, 'Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied before them all, saying, 'I know not what thou sayest.' And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, 'This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, 'Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee.' Then began he to curse and to swear." Now this was a man that had cast out devils. This is a man that has seen Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. Amen. This is a man that stood on Mount Transfiguration and said, "Lord, why don't we build 3 tabernacles, one for you and one for Elijah and one for Moses?" He was excited about what was taking place. This was a man that stood there and said, "Where would we go, Lord? Only you have the way of, know the way of life." This was a man that stood and said, "Look, there's some that say that you're Elias, and some say you're John the Baptist." And Jesus said, "But Peter, who do you say I am?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood didn't teach this to you. Your pastor or your mommy and daddy or the deacon didn't teach this to you. But my Father which is in heaven gave you this revelation." And here he has a revelation, but he doesn't have the Holy Ghost yet. We got a lot of people sitting around the message in that condition. Amen. Oh, they've got all kinds of revelation. They can tell you about the serpent seed, and they can tell you about the Godhead, and they can tell you all kinds of different doctrines, and they can try to force it down people's throat that don't believe it. But if they haven't got the Holy Ghost, what good is it doing? Amen. If your revelation didn't change your character into something better, what good did it do you? All the revelation that you might have. Paul said, "If I know all the mysteries," he said, "it's just a tinkling brass and a sounding cymbal. Though I cast out devils, though I give my body to be burned, though I sell all my goods to feed the poor, all these wonderful things, though I have faith to move mountains," he said, "and I don't have love, what good is it doing me?" We find many around the message, they have all kinds of ideas and they all have all kinds of wonderful things maybe to share. But if it's not projecting the love of Christ, as we saw through Brother Branham's ministry and as we saw through the Lord Jesus and as we saw through St. Paul and different ones, if it's not projecting that love, then what good is their revelation doing them? Many of them got like Peter. They got to a revelation, but they hadn't got to the Holy Ghost yet. Peter could stand there and he walked on the sea with Jesus. He walked along and he had seen miracles after miracle. He had seen the loaves and the fishes be broken apart and multiplied. He had seen Jesus heal the blinded eyes. He had seen him forgive the prostitutes and the woman at the well. And he had seen all kinds of mighty things. He had owed some back taxes one time and went fishing. And God provided a coin in the fish's mouth that just happened to be exactly the amount that him and Jesus owed on their taxes that year. He had seen God move financially, spiritually, physically, mentally. He had seen him deliver the insane. He had seen him free the epileptic, even when he had stood there and prayed with all the anointing and bulldog faith, as Brother Hoover was talking to me about earlier, that he knew how that epileptic spirit wouldn't come out. And Jesus came out and said, "This is the kind that cometh by prayer and fasting." And he just prays for the boy and he throws himself into the fire and has a worse fit than he's ever had, but he didn't have him no more after that. Right. Peter had stood there and seen these things. And he had followed Jesus when it wasn't popular. In St. John chapter 6, verse 66, it says that many of them went back and didn't follow Jesus anymore. And Jesus turned around and said, "Are you going to leave too to the 12? And he said, Peter stood up and he said, "Lord, where would we go? Where could we go? We couldn't go back to the denominations or back to the world. Where would we go?" And he stands here and he follows Jesus through all the fanaticism that surrounded the move in that day. Because there was, believe me, there was all kinds of other crazy people following around trying to do things. We see it in the book of Acts and how that one rose up and took people off into the wilderness and one did this and one did that. There was all kind of fanaticism that followed it. But yet we find the same thing today. Some of the craziest people I've ever met are attracted to this message. Brother Bram said, it takes a nut to hold the thing together. I heard a man say, "Thank God for the nuts" one time. I thought, well, buddy, you're one of them for sure if I ever met one. It's not anything new. The demon possessed and the insane people followed Jesus. They followed Paul, followed him right around. He talked to Legion. He said, "We're many. Our name is Legion because we're many." But when he walked away and he had met Jesus, right, not just a revelation of a doctrine, that's all right. It's good to have a revelation of a doctrine, but he met the man. And once he had met the man, he changed. There was something different about him from that day on. He was sitting there naked, cutting himself in with the stones in the graveyard. But when they came and found him, he was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. Amen. Because he had met Jesus. Right. Peter had seen so many of these things. And yet with all the fanaticism that followed around it, with all of the misunderstandings of the things that Jesus was saying, Jesus would get up and he would teach that, that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And he didn't go on and explain it to the scribes and the Pharisees. And they said, "This man's a cannibal." And in St. John 6, verse 66, as we said, it said many of them went back. But Peter stuck around to find out what he was talking about. Many times, you preach a sermon and somebody gets upset and says, "Well, bless God, I'll never come back again." Maybe you should wait till the next week to find out what's actually being said. So you can balance the thing out a little bit. Because Jesus said many things. If you had that attitude, you would have walked off in a heartbeat. Yeah, huh? Said, "I ain't listening to that stuff no more. I'm never going back. But listen to the next sermon." Amen. Listen when he comes back and explains about communion. Unless you wash my feet, you have no part with me. Unless you drink of the cup and eat the bread. And they said, "Oh, he's not a cannibal. He's talking about communion." But he didn't explain it to the unbeliever out here.
That's
right. So now Peter follows him. This was a homeless man that had one robe and not a lot of money jangling around in the pockets of the robe. Amen. And Peter leaves a successful fishing business and follows this man. Yes. Didn't have a home to take him to. Didn't have a bed for him to sleep in. Didn't have a cupboard full of Campbell's soup to take him home and feed him. But they were always provided for. He was following Jesus. Amen. They were always provided for. And so as he begins to go along here, he's following Jesus. And everything that Jesus is doing, he's excited about. He's seeing the lepers healed. He's seeing the dead raised. He's seeing the epileptics cured. And he's seeing the blind eyes come open. He's seeing the poor helped and encouraged. And he's seeing the prostitutes turn their lives around. And the tax collectors begin to give their money back to the poor. He's seeing some incredible things. He says, I can follow this man. But then when he turns and he begins to go toward Calvary, it was a different story. Amen. The disciples followed Jesus as long as he was headed in the direction that they wanted to go. But once he turned towards Calvary, they all ran off and stopped following. There was one man standing there at the cross, John. Brother Bram said, a man and a woman. John, the disciple, and Mary, who had given birth to Emmanuel. They stood there. Brother Bram said, a man and a woman. And Jesus looked down and he said, son, behold thy mother. And he wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about John. Yes. That he was going to take care of Mary from that time on. Right. He looks down and he says this. A man and a woman stand there. Everybody else ran off and forsook him. Because he wasn't headed in the direction they wanted to go anymore. I wonder how many times we do the same thing in our own spiritual walk. Lord, I'll follow you as long as there's money in the bank account. I'll follow you as long as, you know, there's new cars in the driveway and as long as the family's healthy and, oh, as long as I've got a good steady job that has a good 401k and a good medical plan, and I'll follow you through all the good times. But, you know, when there's a marriage, and, you know, I've had the privilege of performing a few marriages. I know Brother Trevor and Brother Layton and different ones have. And when you stand there and the bride stands before the groom there and they take these vows, part of the vow is in sickness and in health. For better or for worse. That's to keep you from running home to mommy when the first trial comes. But we're supposed to be in the marriage of the Lamb. And when there's health, I thank God for those good days when I feel like I can run and jump and go through a wall and leap over a troop. When there's money on the table and everything's going just wonderful, oh, thank you, Lord. But when it gets into the sickness and when it gets into the worse, instead of the riches and the better, and when God leads us to do something, we say, Lord, I don't want to do that. People won't understand. And it won't be popular. And Lord, people are going to make fun of me and people are going to criticize me. I'm not sure I want to go down this path anymore. We follow him as long as he's going in the direction that we want. But many times when he begins to lead us down a path that's a little narrow and a little rough, we begin to think, oh Lord, I'm just not sure. You know, maybe that was my imagination telling me that. Maybe it wasn't the Lord. And we find, as Peter begins to deny and he begins to curse and to swear, this man that had seen the blind eyes come open, this man that had sat at the foot of Jesus time after time after time. It says in St. Luke chapter 22 verse 61 that the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. I can just imagine, here they have him. They're beating him. They're ripping out his beard with their hands. They're spitting on him. Forcing a crown of thorns down around his head. Peter's over here cussing up a storm. I don't know him, blankety blank this and blankety blank that. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, let's just make it real this morning. He was trying to make sure he wasn't identified with this man getting the flesh beat out of him. Getting his face spit on, getting ready to get his hands pierced and his nails pierced. And I don't mean the kind of like, you know, all these piercings that people have today. Getting ready to go and have a crown of thorns forced down around his head and a spear stuck in his side. He was wanting to make sure he could do everything he could to distance himself from this man. He knew that man would never talk like that. That man would never act this way. And I don't want to be identified with him right now, even though I wanted to be identified with him with the loaves and the fishes and the healings and the raisings and all the good things. But now he tries to distance himself and he tries, even though he had said, Lord, I'll go with thee even unto death. I'll never deny thee. And Jesus said, When the cock crows three times, you'll have already denied, or when the cock crows, you'll have already denied me three times. And he begins to curse and to swear, say, I don't know this man. You're wrong. You've got me mistaken for somebody else. I don't know him. Oh, but your language gives you away. You talk like one of those Nazarenes. You got kind of an accent like some of those West Virginia folks or Kentucky folks. We recognize who you are. We know that you're associated with them. He said, I don't know the man. And all of a sudden, a rooster begins to crow over in the yard. And maybe they've got Jesus strapped down and they're beating him on the back and flesh flying off of him. And he just turns around and looks and catches Peter's eye.
Right.
And Peter's heart begins to sink because he said, the very thing I said I wouldn't do.
Right.
The very thing I said I would never do. And here it's being fulfilled. It said, Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly.
Right.
Now that didn't change Peter's predestination. That didn't make Peter serpent seed.
Amen.
Most of us would have given up on Peter about then. Oh my, here he is denying Jesus publicly.
Come on.
Saying he don't believe the message anymore. He's done for. He's going to hell. Peter walks away and he weeps bitterly. Greater than Solomon here is not, in 1963, Brother Branham said, to be a Christian is self-denial. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me daily. Today it's so soft and people call themselves Christians when it used to mean death to confess Christ and you had to depend on him daily for everything you had need of. Most people don't want this part of Christianity. They want to sing about his cross and they want to praise about what he did on the cross. And in a few weeks here, they want to sing about what he did when he came in a manger and the star and the wise men and the shepherds. And they love that part, but they don't want to talk about their cross. That self-denial, that death of a Christian, they don't like the Gethsemane part. They don't like the Calvary part when it comes to them. They appreciate what he did at Gethsemane and they appreciate what he did at Calvary. But when it comes to being a Christian, Brother Branham said it's a life of self-denial. Now, how could this man who had seen so much in the message of his day, had seen miracle, had walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, maybe slept in a sleeping bag right next to Jesus around the campfire, had seen him standing with two supernatural beings, theophany bodies, and recognized these men are Moses and Elijah. Hey, this wasn't just a fly-by-night guy that came in one service and left the next. He was right there, hand in hand, working with Jesus and seeing what he was doing. And now he walks away and denies him. How could he ever walk away? He didn't have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He had seen and he had heard. It had been explained to him. But it hadn't become a part of him yet.
Amen.
You say, oh, I can't believe Brother so-and-so left or Sister so-and-so. Why on earth would they? They never had the Holy Ghost. They might have been saved and sanctified and justified and all kinds of things, but the word for the day won't deny the word for the day won't deny itself. They might have been good people. They might have had the baptism of the Holy Ghost outside, anointing them to do things, but they never had it down here. Peter never walked away. They crucified him upside down, did all kinds of things to him. He never walked away once he had the Holy Ghost. It didn't matter how many times they beat him or ran him out of town or put him in jail or hung him upside down. He said, you say what you want. You crucified the Prince of Peace. And I'm not even worthy to be crucified like him. Turn my cross upside down.
Right.
What had changed? He got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But I love this in Mark chapter 16, verse 7, when the angel is sitting there and they come to the tomb, they see the stone rolled away, even though it was great and took all kinds of men to roll it away. Then they accuse these women of rolling it away and stealing his body, these two little women, or three of them, even though it took a bunch of soldiers to roll it up there in the first place. But they got there and the stone was already rolled away and a man sitting there and he says, go, he's not here whom you seek. Go ahead and look, the tomb is empty.
Right.
Many of you brothers have been over there and seen it, it's still empty. He said, he's not here whom you seek, but he said to wait for him and to go tell his disciples, and oh, by the way, tell Peter.
Hallelujah.
Name Peter specifically.
Right.
There were 10 other disciples that were still following him. Judas had gave up and hung himself. Brother Branham said that Judas didn't miss it at Calvary. He missed it at Pentecost.
Right.
That's hard for us to wrap our minds around.
Come on.
But Peter denied him. Peter betrayed him. He didn't sell him out for silver and gold, but he walked off and left him over the fact of he didn't want to be crucified and beaten as well. But Judas couldn't wrap his mind around that there could possibly be grace for him for himself. So he goes out and he throws himself over and hangs himself, and the rope breaks and he falls and his bowels gush out all over the place, and they call it the field of the blood from that day on, to fulfill the prophecy of Zacharias and how the money would be thrown and how it would be taken and the potter's field would be bought with it, and all these different things that was part of prophecy that they failed to recognize begins to take place. And Peter, he's dejected, and he goes back, and they're sitting there. They don't know what to do now. They thought this man was going to come and deliver them from the Roman Empire, and that he was going to rule with the rod of iron and all these different things. And they were expecting, you know, when John the Baptist come, they said the mountains would skip like rams and the trees would clap their hands and all these different things. And he went down and baptized a few people and got his head cut off by Herod. And they said, well, we thought Elias was supposed to come. Jesus said he didn't. You missed it. It had already taken place, and they were looking forward for something way off in the future, and Jesus said, you missed it. Amen. I wonder how many of them missed it in this age. Still looking, this has got to happen, and that's got to happen, and this has got to take place, and that's got to take place. You better be careful. You might turn around one day and realize Elias already came, and you did to him what you listed. He already came and indicted this generation, and they rejected him and walked away from it.
Amen.
Mm. But go tell his disciples and Peter. Now, Judas is already out of the scene, but there's 11 disciples, but Jesus names Peter specifically. This guy that was cussing and swearing and denying him a few hours before. And they go out on the lake and they begin to fish, and they see somebody come and walking to him on the water, and they said, oh, it's a spirit. And then they recognize, no, it's Jesus. And he calls to him, children, have you any meat? They said, no, we fished all night and we haven't caught anything. Now, this seems like a flashback to earlier, but it wasn't. This is just a reminder to Peter, I'm still God. I'm still Amen. Jesus. They may have taken me and killed me and buried me, but I've risen. And I've still got the same signs and wonders and power that I did before, and even more so because now I've got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. I'm going to give you power to whatever you seal on earth, I'll seal in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. And here he comes walking into him. He said, children, have you any meat? They said, no, we fished all night and didn't catch anything. He said, it's because you're casting on the wrong side of the boat. He said, why don't you cast on the right side for a while? And so they begin to cast on the right side of the boat. And I believe it was, I don't know if I wrote it down here or not, but I think it was 153 fish they caught, the Bible says. I don't know why the Bible lists it specifically, but I'm glad for those little nuggets that we find in there. They had a great catch of fish. And they come and there's food prepared. He said, come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. He sits down there and begins to talk to Peter. St. John chapter 21, verse 17. He saith unto him the third time. He keeps asking him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter keeps answering him, Lord, you know I love you. And he says unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now this is the same thing that happened 3.5 years before. He meets Jesus. He has a great catch of fish. He comes and worships him, and Jesus says, follow me. Now the whole process is repeated over again, but there's something about it that this time he gives Peter a little bit of revelation and insight into the rest of his life. He said, when you were young, you went wherever you wanted, but when you're old, another's going to gird you and take you where you wouldn't want to go. And he's speaking of his natural death, but I think he's also giving us a little bit of insight here into Peter's spiritual walk too, that just a few days ago, you didn't want to follow where I led you. And you wanted to go where you wanted to go and wanted to do what you wanted to do. But now there's coming a time where you're going to have to die spiritually to the things of the world and your own desires and all these things. And I'm going to come on the day of Pentecost with a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. And now it's not going to be you going about where you want to go and doing what you want to do. But there's going to be somebody else that's down on the inside that's going to lead you and going to guide you. And maybe a lot of times this guy out here is going to say, but Lord, I don't want to go. But there's something down on the inside that'll lead you and guide you anyhow. Now, he had went all the way from being a disciple to being a denier, but now God's going to give him an experience that's going to last him. Not something that's an up and down and, I love him today and he loves me and I'm not sure if he loves me today and I'm saved today and I'm lost tomorrow and I got the Holy Ghost this week, but I'm not sure next week and all this up and down that Peter had been doing of denying and being a disciple and not sure and back and forth. Now something is going to take place to where it's not Peter doing the leading anymore.
Amen.
Brother Ram says it this way, in perfect strength by perfect weakness. He says God's strategy is to take empty human vessels and shake the world with them. That's what God's strategy is. You talk to people very long, especially in this area, they'll give you all kinds of ideas of what they think God's strategy is. This is God's plan, this is God's way, and this is it or else. But Brother Ram said God's strategy is to take empty human vessels and shake the world with them. Amen. Now, Peter had done some incredible things. He cast out devils and all these things he'd done in following Jesus' ministry. But God couldn't really shake the world with him yet because Peter wasn't empty yet. He had too much of Peter left on the inside. Amen. He had Peter's ideas and Peter's plans and Peter's desires and Peter's wishes. And Peter wants it this way and Peter wants to go here and Peter wants to do this. And Peter wants to follow Jesus when it's convenient, but Peter doesn't want to go to Calvary. And all these different Peter parts were still on the inside of him. But now, as he begins to die out to himself, and they got there on the day of Pentecost or a few days before, and they're waiting up there in the upper room. Brother Bram said one of them could have stood up and said, oh, praise God, I think I got it. Peter said, no, there's still too much Peter down on the inside. I'm not empty enough yet for him to shake the world with me. There's too much Brian, or there's too much Layton, or there's too much Hoover, there was too much this or too much that. Brother Bram said there was too much William Branham still. And he said God had to take that rose and crush it to be able to get the perfume to come out of it the right way. And sometimes that's hard on this guy out here.
Yeah, right.
But Lord, I wanted it this way, and I thought you would do this, and my plans were this, and I wanted to go here, and I wanted to achieve this, and I wanted my children to be perfect little angels. God had another plan.
Amen.
I want them to be rocket scientists and nurses and doctors, and they're hanging drywall. Maybe God led them to do that.
Right.
Maybe God's got somebody that he wants them to witness to out there.
Amen, brother.
I wanted this for my life, and I wanted that. You better be careful. You got too much you on the inside still. Brother Bram says again, the same sermon, he said, that's the need of today. That's what we need today, is the empty vessels, yes, sir, so God can fill them up. Now we find another man by the name of Paul that he went about, and he was a good self-righteous guy, and he had a lot of good works, and oh my, he was persecuting these guys that he thought was in a cult, and he was putting them in prison and witnessing their deaths and all kinds of different things. But one day a light strikes him down on the road as he's going to put some more of them in jail, and God begins to give him an experience, and he goes back out and he checks his experience with the word, and he recognizes this is exactly what God promised for his age, and he goes back out and he begins to serve God with zeal. And he said, you know, he was persecuted, he was lost at sea and in perils and in stripes and beaten and persecuted and cast into jail and all these trials that he had. But there was something about it that there was somebody else that was driving the boat now instead of Paul.
Amen.
And Agabus, a prophet, comes down. He prophesies. He takes a girdle and ties it around his hands. He said, as a man that wore this is going to go bound to Jerusalem. And it said, when we heard these things in Acts chapter 21, verse 12, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. But then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. How could he be so willing to die? He had already died.
Right.
He had already died when a man came in and laid hands on him and the Holy Ghost began to come in. Paul had already died.
Yes.
They could take him. They could crucify Peter, and they could do what they wanted to him, hang him upside down. But he had already died back on the day of Pentecost. Right. Brother Branham said it this way. He said, you can't kill William Branham. William Branham died years ago. Paul says it this way to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 11. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He said, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. But here's the secret to it all. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Now, I don't think Paul said every time he was hungry, thank you, Lord, for the trial. And oh my, I'm a better Christian because I was hungry today. But what he said was, Lord, I don't know why I'm hungry today. Maybe you've got a miracle just around the corner for me. Maybe there's a bread truck that turned over and I'm going to have a miracle just around the corner. I don't know why, but you've got a reason and a purpose in this. And I'm going to be content. That doesn't mean that we should just lay down and say, well, I shouldn't ever better myself, and I'll just be hungry all the time, and I'll never get a better job, and I'll never get married, and I'll never get a vehicle. It means whatever stage of life that God has you in, it's okay to have ambitions as long as they line up with the Word of God. But don't be so discontented your whole life until you reach those ambitions that you just sit around an old sour-faced Christian like a bump on a log, Brother Bram said, looking like a frog-eating buckshot all the time, because it's not how you wanted it to be. God has a purpose for where you're at right now in your walk with Him. That doesn't mean we just give up and say, well, Lord, I won't try anymore. I won't try to do anything. I won't try to do more for you, and I won't try to get a better job, and I won't try to do this. No, it's all right to have ambition as long as it lines up with the Word of God. But don't get so disappointed with where you're at now that the devil keeps contentment out like a carrot on a stick for you your whole life, that, oh, if I can just get this, I'll be content. And then you get there and you realize, oh, but Lord, I really would rather have this. And the devil constantly keeps it out like a carrot on a stick. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, if I can just get the latest electronic device, I'll be happy. No, you won't. Because in about 2 months, Apple or Windows will come out with another one. You'll be, oh my, I wish I had this. Wish I would have waited for that version. Some of you sisters, oh, if I could just dress as nice as Sister so-and-so, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. Because then you'd find some other sister that, oh my, I wish I could dress like her. A lot of us as young people, we used to think, oh my, if I can just drive, if I can just live, if the Lord will just hold off that rapture long enough for me to get a driver's license, I'll be happy. And then we realized we weren't, because Dad would only loan us the keys when we were good, and we'd think, oh Lord, if you could just hold it off a few more months till I can get my own vehicle, I'll be so happy. And then you got an old 1983 Rabbit that was rusted and about to fall apart, and you thought, oh Lord, if I could just get a better car, I'll be happy. Some of you children think, oh my, when I get out of school, I'll be so happy. I'm going to be my own person. I'm going to be my own man. I'm going to make my own decisions. And then you get your own job with responsibilities, and you think, oh my, I wish I could go back to school and not have all this responsibility. Or you think, oh my, if I could just get a better job, then I'll be happy. Oh, when I can date, I'll be happy. And then you're dating and you think, oh, Lord, if I could just get married to her, then I'll be happy. And then you think, oh, my, we're married, but Lord, if you just send us the children, then I'll be happy. And then the children come and you say, Lord, if I can just retire from this good job that you finally blessed me with and the children can get out of the house, then I'll be happy. And if you're not careful, Satan holds contentment out there on that stick. Oh, just one more thing and you'll be happy. Paul said, I've learned whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. Amen. If I'm single, I'm going to serve the Lord in my singleness. If I'm married, I'm going to serve Him while I'm married. If I'm broke, I'm going to serve Him with the best 10 cents that I've got. And if I'm a millionaire, I'm going to serve Him with that. If I've got the nicest car, I'm going to drive it like I'm a Christian and do what I should with it, not be proud and stuck up because I got a little bit better car than somebody else. And if I got the junkiest car in the parking lot at church, I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm going to thank God that I didn't have to walk to church. Amen. Some of you can sit there and think, oh my, when my ex-spouse passes, then I'll be happy because I can finally get married to somebody else. You'll just find there's more problems for you somewhere. Some of you sit there and think, oh my, if grandma ever kicks the bucket, I'll be happy because I'll inherit all that money. No, you won't. because then the family will just fight over it and you'll get about $53 and think, oh, I wish grandma was still here. Paul said, whatever state I'm in, if I'm hungry, Lord, I wish I wasn't hungry today. But you've got a plan in this. You've got a blessing in this. You've got something coming down the road for me. I was a little bit discouraged last Sunday night. I'd heard something that discouraged me a little bit. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to turn on. I know this isn't popular and some people don't like this, but I'm going to be who I am. Is that all right? I can't be somebody else. And if you want me to be your pastor, I'm just going to be honest with you and tell you who I am. And I know some people it offends on one side and some people it offends on the other side. And, oh, he should take a stronger stand for this side and he should take a stronger stand for that side. Well, if I did, probably half of you'd leave the church anyhow because this side of the church would be upset. Oh, can you believe he took such a strong stand against that? And the other church would say, side of the church would say, oh, I can't believe he said that because I'm not here to try to tell other brothers what to do and how to run their churches and tell you why you shouldn't do this and why you shouldn't do that. I'm here to show you what we're supposed to be doing. A lot of brothers make people so bound down that you got to do this, 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 and this, and this. And if you do this, you're not bright. And if you don't do it my way, you're not bright. And if you don't do it that way, hey, I'm here to tell you, you get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Bram said the Philippian jailer, Paul didn't tell him the list of things that he shouldn't do. Don't, you know, you sisters, don't paint your fingernails anymore and don't do this and don't do that. It's all right. We need good sermons like that sometimes. I believe in preaching holiness. I believe in preaching to abstain from evil. But he said, well, if you're not careful, you just make him a twofold more child of hell than he was because you make a legalistic Christian out of him. But he said, Peter didn't say don't do this and don't do this and don't do that. He told him what to do.
Right.
Repent and be baptized. The Holy Ghost will come and then he'll take care of all those things.
Right.
So I was discouraged. I went home and I thought, I need to hear some good gospel singing. I turned on Brother Donnie Reagan's service from Sunday morning. I was sitting there listening to the song service, and it was just encouraging me and listening to the singing along, sitting there. And they turned the service over to him, and he got up and he said, I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. He said, me and Carol went out to eat, and he said, it was hard for me to really enjoy it because he'd been getting emails from Uganda all week from pastors, about 40 pastors over in Uganda. They're having a drought right now, and some of the families in these churches, these are message churches. This isn't some nominal church of somebody we don't know. These are message brothers that believe this message and are standing for whatever bit of it that they know how to over there in whatever language they're reading it in, however many books and tapes they have. They're in a drought right now, and he said there's some families at the churches, the pastor were telling him, are getting one meal a day. Some of them are getting one meal every other day. He said, it was hard for me to enjoy my Thanksgiving. And I thought, us bunch of discontented American people always got to have something better and always looking for something else to be discontent. And here little children over there, message-believing children, just like our little children, eating one meal every other day. There's nobody in America that can relate to that. You may be broke as a twig this morning, but there's some brother here that'll buy you a value meal at McDonald's, I guarantee you. Or you can go down and reach through your console there in your car and find enough change to buy a Campbell's soup can or go and buy you a 99-cent value meal somewhere or something like that. There's nobody in America can relate to that. Homeless people on the street that are begging, they beg more in a day than most of us make, a lot of them, if they find them a good spot. And even the ones, if they only get a dollar that day, they can go get them a big cheeseburger at Wendy's or something, a 99 value meal. And these people, maybe a handful of rice every other day. Paul said, I've learned to be content, whatever state I'm in. And it's so hard for us to be content here. A sister was telling me last night, there was a nominal brother she heard talking, and they were trying to do some stuff for some of the children overseas where he was at, and they had all kinds of children there, more than they was expecting. Didn't have hardly nothing but just a little Dixie cup of orange drink to give them. And one little chocolate chip cookie each. And hundreds of these children sitting there in this auditorium. And he said as they were getting almost done, some of the ones that had received things first, they started to come up and they thought, oh no, they're going to ask for more. Because, you know, we don't hardly have enough to feed the first group and they're going to come up and ask for more. And they came up with their cups And the children said, we were just afraid that you were going to run out of cups. And we wanted to give our cups back to somebody else. I thought, how spoiled we are as American people. We would have said, I don't like orange drink. Or I'd rather have a peanut butter cookie than a chocolate chip cookie. God has blessed us, and he's blessed us, and he's blessed us. And then he turns a corner and tries to lead us a direction that maybe we don't want to go, like he did Peter. And we say, Lord, I guess you just don't love me anymore. But we begin to look around at some of these other countries and some of these things that are going on, and we realize we're so blessed. Amen. We're so blessed. What path is he leading you down this morning? Maybe you're in the middle of sickness and you wish you wasn't on that path. Or maybe you've got physical needs. Maybe you're going through persecution at your job or at your school because you dress a little different. You act a little different. You don't go out and drink and smoke and party with the rest of them. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're single. Maybe you've had disappointments lately. Maybe you've had loss. Maybe you've had grief. What path is he leading you down? You say, Lord, I don't want to be on this path. Maybe it's unemployment. Maybe it's financial uncertainty. Maybe you're waiting for some type of change in your life. Lord, I've been so discouraged. I'm just waiting on this path to change. Maybe you've got wandering loved ones, or maybe you've got rebellious children, or maybe you've got all kinds of things that this wasn't what you had planned. And you wasn't planning on having to go through the trials that you're going through, and you wasn't planning on having to be led down the paths that you're going through. But I hope you can recognize this morning, it's not about us in the first place.
Amen.
We make it about us so often, but it's not about us. It's not about what car Nathan Bryant wants to drive and you know, what new gadget that I think would be great and would help me, you know, be a little bit more lazy and lukewarm and Laodicean. Brother Bram said the mothers used to go and scrub on the scrubbing board and wash all day, and now they go and they push a button and got less time to pray and study and teach their children about Jesus than they ever did. Everything comes so easy for us. We was in Jamaica for our honeymoon, and we was driving along the road, and there was women out in the creeks washing their clothes out in the stream. I thought, you don't see that every day. Not here, at least, but they do there. Brother Trevor's told us some of the things that he saw in Ghana in different places. And I'm not saying, hey, I'll be honest with you. I'm not planning on, you know, giving up steak and cheeseburgers and eating rice every meal for the rest of my life just because people in India have to. I'm just saying I'm going to appreciate what God's doing more.
Right.
I hope God never calls me to missionary to India, Brother Hoover, because I don't think I can handle it, seeing all those starving children there just begging for a handful of rice. And if you give one of them a dollar, what about the other 10,000 that are laying there begging for one? How can you give it to one and not the other? I can't. I don't have Bill Gates' money. I can't provide for them all. I can pray for them and that God will move on the scene and change their circumstances. But what I can do is be more appreciative to what God has blessed me with.
Amen.
And use what God has blessed me with a little bit better. And when I find myself in a situation, I begin to complain because, oh my, you know, the car number 3 won't start today. I can think, what about the guy riding a bicycle over in India? What about this one over here that doesn't? Brother Ram said he thought he had it pretty bad as a child because he didn't have shoes. He said he, in one of the life stories there, he said when he went to school, he wore one of his mommy's shoes and one of his daddy's shoes. He said they called it a boot and a gagger, and the kids made fun of him. Made fun of him because of the clothes he was wearing. He got to crying, and the teacher sent him home. He said, I thought I was pretty bad off because I didn't have shoes. He said, then one day I saw a man that didn't have feet. What path is he calling you to walk on this morning? I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a path that's a harder path than he's called me to. And maybe I wouldn't want to trade places with you for anything. And maybe you could look at my life and say, oh my, I wouldn't want to be Brother Nathan because he deals with this and deals with that. But God's called you to your trial. And he's called you to your path. And he's called you to your circumstance. And it may be not at all what you had planned or what you wanted. And if you could pick paths, maybe you would try to change it with somebody else. But you'd find out pretty quick, oh, wait a minute, they've got things that I didn't want to deal with either. Maybe you wouldn't want to put up with their wife or their children or whatever it would be. You'd think, oh, Lord, I wouldn't want to trade places with them. Wish I had their money, but I wouldn't want this, this, and this. Or wish I had their car, but I wouldn't want to put up with this, this, and that. God's all got us on some kind of a path. And it's not always flower beds and roses and beautiful sunrises and sunsets and no rainy days. Sometimes he calls us to things that are hard. Brother Branham says in Christ, in 1955, he says, every believer that comes to Christ must come to the same cross of self-denial and die there with the Lamb, with his Lamb, die out to his own thoughts, die out to your own mental thinking. Just take what the Holy Spirit says in your heart, then live for Christ. I want to die out more this morning. I don't want to be upset every time I don't get my way and every time the Lord didn't let me do things just the way that I wanted to. There's things lately that I've preached and said and sang and done that I didn't want to. I thought, Lord, don't make me do that. Don't make me do that. But the Lord led me to. So do I take my way or his way? I find out more and more, the more I yield to his way, the more he blesses and the more he does. God knows what path you're on this morning. And he's allowed you to be on that path. And his word says that he'll never give with the temptation. He'll always give a way of escape. That doesn't mean that everything's just always easy. And, well, I don't want to be in this situation, so I'm just going to click my heels together and it's going to change. It means that he'll give you strength to go through whatever it is you're going through. And you say, Brother Nathan, I just don't have the strength anymore. But Paul just told us that when his strength was gone, that's when Jesus could come and his strength could be perfect through Paul's weakness. Sometimes when we're the most broken, we're the most miserable, we're the most discouraged, we're the weakest, we're torn down, we're battling, just everything's going wrong. That's when the Holy Spirit slips in and says, now I can take the wheel. You finally are letting me guide a little bit here. Now I can take the wheel and guide you down this road when there's none left of us to be able to go on anymore. He picks us up and he carries us. I'm thankful. Brother Bram said he was going down the road there and his daughter had died and his wife had died and the man came by and said, Billy, he said, what do you think? He said, you still love him? He said, I love him more than I ever did. You still serve him? I'm still serving him. He said, how can you? He said, you keep your religion? He said, no, they kept me. It was him that was holding us all the time. It was him that even when Peter made mistakes and he went out there and he cursed and he swore and he did all these things and ran and tried to deny him, he said, go tell Peter. I'm waiting for him. Go tell Peter my grace is still sufficient. Go tell Peter I called his name specifically. Even through all his mistakes and all his worry and all his stubbornness and trying to do things his way, I'm waiting and he's going to come around one day and he won't go where he wants to go, but he'll let me lead him. I hope we can let God lead us this morning. You say, Brother Nathan, I'm sick of this and I'm sick of that. I'm just going to do it my way. Our way doesn't ever work out for our benefit. It looks nice for a while, but our way never works out. His way is what I want. You say, Brother Nathan, I know the word says this, but bless God, you just don't know what I'm facing. I'm going to do this anyhow. You'll wind up in trouble. It'll be a mess. You'll wind up on your back in a hospital bed or out here in some kind of a situation, call and ask me to pray for you and say, Brother Nathan, oh, I wanted to do it my way and God told me not to, but I was stubborn. I was like Peter. I said, no, I'm doing it my way. He'll bring you around to his way sometime. He'll bring you back to that path. He might have to bring heartache and let all kinds of things happen and circumstances to get you sitting right back where you were supposed to be. If the musicians would come, I'm going to read you a psalm here real quick. Brother Layton already read us one, but I had this on my heart this morning. I'm not going to read all of it, but a few verses here just to see what David is saying about how that God knew where he was at and what his condition was and what path he was on. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous all are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. David was recognizing, you can't run from God. You can't hide from God. He knew what path you'd be on. He knew where you'd be, what you were going through before you was formed in your mother's womb. He knew what you would be, what you would look like, what your circumstance would be. As you were being formed there, and little bones were being created and fingers were beginning to be formed. He knew how tall you were going to be, what color hair you were going to have before the doctor could look microscopically and figure it out. He knew what your name would be. He knew what your address would be. We get so surprised, it seems like, when Brother Bram begins to call these things out through the prayer line, but we forget who it is that's speaking. God knew all about it before they even had that address. He knew what their address was going to be. He knew all about it. He knew what path you would be on and what path he was calling you to and whether you were going to follow him or whether you were going to be stubborn about it and what he was going to have to do to bring you around. David's recognizing this. Lord, wherever I go, you're there. Whatever I do, you know about it. My words, you understand them. My thoughts, you perceive them. Hey, God knows all about it. I may not know all about it this morning, but he knows all about it. Whatever path that you're going down, you can either be a disciple or you can be a denier. But I hope that you'll move past both of those and get so filled with the Holy Ghost to where it's not a teetering boat of I'm a disciple one day and I'm a denier the next day, but it'll be him that's leading and guiding. Even when maybe you don't want to, you say, Lord, I'm too tired, I'm too busy, I'm too stressed, it's too unpopular, it's too much of a hardship, it's this, it's that. But he says, but I'm leading you. You'll say, okay, Father, if it's you, I'll go. Amen. Let's sing this together this morning.
He lets me walk down roads of disappointment. He watches and he knows what's best for me. The more change my life completely, that it will fit his perfect will. Oh, that's just his way of telling me he loves me. Oh, can you recognize it this morning? Yes, it's a love beyond all He'll give me strength to climb the highest hill. Lord, the more I'm tried, the better you can mold me. I know you'll change my life completely, that it will fit your purpose.
softly, every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder how many would slip up your hand and say, Brother Nathan, there's a path that he's got me on right now. I wish I didn't have to go down. I'm just seeking his guidance. I need his help. I don't have the strength to go down this path on my own. I don't have the strength to go any further. There's a situation in my family. There's a situation in my marriage. There's a financial situation. There's a physical need. There's some grief that we're dealing with. Or there's some disappointment. There's some there's so many circumstances that I don't have the strength to do it on my own anymore. I need his help to help me down this path. How many raise your hand and say, Lord, I need your help. I don't want my will. I don't want my stubbornness to get in the way of what you'd have me to do. Almost every hand raised. Amen. Lord knows all about it. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't know all the situations that the people are facing, Lord. I don't know the causes why each hand was raised, Lord, but you know all about it. You see them in their circumstance. You see them on the path that you have them on, Father. Maybe they've been fighting against your will, or maybe they've been doing their very best to yield to it. You know, Father. Lord, maybe this morning through the quotes and the scriptures and the path that you led me down for the service, Lord, maybe it spoke to their hearts and said, child, I'm with you. I'm walking with you on this path. I know maybe it's not what you wanted and what you had planned, but just put your hand in mine. I'll lead you the rest of the way. Father, you've led us this far. You've led us through trials, through many dangers, toils, and snares. Lord, you've brought us through financial situations and physical needs and disappointments, discouragements, griefs and pain, loss, loneliness. You've led us through all kinds of situations, Father. Lord, we have confidence in you that you'll lead us the rest of the way. Lord, that even in the middle of a trial or even in the middle of a disappointment, Lord, we may not understand just exactly how. We may not understand just exactly why. But Lord, we know that you're still working and moving, and that it's for our good and for your glory. Maybe we won't understand some of these things till we step on the other side. But Lord, I believe you're trying to encourage us this morning just to let us know you're still with us. You promised us you'd never leave us or forsake us. You're still doing the leading, Father. Help us, Lord, not to fight against your leading, but just to put our hand in yours and follow you down whatever path, Lord. Help us to be content with whatever place that we're at in our life, Lord, until you lead us down another path. Then, Lord, help us to be content there until you move again. Help it not to be us fighting and struggling and wanting and constantly discontented. But Lord, may it just be us putting our hand in yours, saying, Father, you just show me where to step. That's where I'll step, Father. Be with us, Father. Give us wisdom and strength. And give us peace in a way that only you can, Father. Even in times when the world would look at us and say, how can you have peace? We can say, it's not my strength, but it's his strength. It's not my peace, it's his peace that he said he'd given to us. He said, my peace give I unto you. He said, in this world you won't have peace. There's no peace for us out there. But that he'd bring us his peace. I'm thankful for your peace, Father. Even in the middle of storms, even in the middle of the trials, I'm thank you, Lord, for the peace that you bring. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Help me sing this morning. My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sail. But I have a friend who's watching over me when the breeze turns into sun. shine again. I know. Oh, aren't you thankful that you know him this morning? Where would we be without him? Oh, I know. Shine again. I know the master of the wind. Well, sometimes I soar like an eagle to the heights among the peaks. My soul can be found. Then some old unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. It can bring me low, but it won't bring me down. Why? Because I know the master of the wind. How can you go through this trial and still be happy? Because I know the maker of the rain. And I know he can calm my storm, make the sun shine again. Oh, let's stand together and sing it to him this morning. Oh, I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. And I know he can calm my storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Help me sing this. Sometimes we soar like an eagle to the heights among the peaks. Our soul can be found. Then some old unexpected storm, oh, it may drive us from the heights. It can bring us low, but it won't bring. It to him again. Lord, I know you're the master of my wind, my path. I know the maker of the rain, and I know he can calm the storm. Oh, yes, Lord. I know the master of the wind. And so many times I've questioned certain circumstances, maybe things I couldn't understand. There were so many times and trials that my weakness blurred my vision. That's when my frustrations get so out of hand. Lord, but it's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken. Church, I've never had to stand one test alone. So when I look at all the victories, that's when His Spirit rises up in me. For it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. But He never promised that the cross would not get heavy. When you're walking in that valley of decision, that old adversary says, why don't you just give in? Just hold on. Cause our Lord will show up and He will take you through the fire again. This is what Peter. Peter realized, oh, I know within myself that I would never make it. Oh, but if I'll trust the hand of God, He'll shield the flame again. 'Cause He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, that your hill would not be hard to climb. I found this. Oh, He never offered our victories without fighting. But He said help is gonna come right on time. If you'll just remember when you're standing in your valley of decision, and that old adversary says, give in, just hold on. 'Cause our Lord will show up and He will take you. Sing it this morning. Oh, He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. Oh, you just remember when you're standing in that valley of decision, and the adversary says, oh, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again. Amen. God bless you this morning. Certainly good to see you. Certainly good to be here in His presence. I look around, I see all families driving from all over, Owensboro, Shepherdsville, LaGrange, way out in Newport, I believe, near Cincinnati. We're blessed.
Yes.
Amen. We're blessed to have a desire to come and worship Him. He's mindful of you this morning. It's not always easy, but He knows all about it. Amen. Help me sing this morning. We love you in the Lord. Looking forward to what He has for us, coming services and communion tonight. Amen. Prayer meeting. I always enjoy it. Just His sweet presence here and just to do what He told us to do. Amen. We do it in obedience to His word. Take up your cross and follow.
Take I am blessed.